Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're fighting for our survival, of course. Donald Trump represents the standard bearer of America's future if we win. And I want you to think about who hates him and why they hate him. Just think about this carefully. The deviants, the perverts, the intellectual haters of America, the losers who are jealous of anybody who has succeeded. And I must say there's a high degree of racism against Donald Trump. Yes, you heard me. A tremendous degree of racism is being directed at Donald Trump. And he is expressing certainly no racial issues, none whatsoever. He's expressing nationalist issues, not racist issues. But the perverted, deviant left is so twisted in their thinking that anyone who stands up for our borders, our language, and our culture is to these sickos a racist. It's plug and play for them. What they've done to your children and now doing to the American psyche. I have a young assistant in his 20s. I don't know if he can come on the air, but you know, we're driving up here to the studio I'm in southern Florida. AT&T crashed at the home studio, and here I am up at WFTL Studios in West Palm Beach, actually. We're a stone's throw from Mar-a-Lago. It's right over the whatever. Nicest people on earth. I haven't been here in many years. I saw some old friends, some new friends. So we're driving up here with all the moon people whose faces don't reach over the steering wheel. I don't even know how they're allowed to be licensed in southern Florida. I hear when they die, their children collect their Social Security into the next century, and they continue to vote Queens, Brooklyn, and, South Florida. But nevertheless, we're driving up, and I say to him, "You go on the social media a lot." "Yeah, I'm on it all the time." And he said, "You cannot believe the hatred for Donald Trump, but it's not coming from the people." He said, "It's coming from the people who write the articles, but the people themselves, even the young people, say, no, that's not right. We like Donald Trump." Isn't that what you said to me, basically? You care to say a word so your father can be proud of you? Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll give you the big mic. I'm in a good mood.
Oh, hello, America. Yeah, for the most part, when I'm on social media, I witness it myself. All the articles are bashing Trump right and left, and the comments that are below it are people disagreeing with them. I mean, it's a majority of the people saying Trump is right for America and everyone else is not.
You've just had your debut. You did very well. You have a good radio voice. You should consider a career in the business. So it's the media fools like Bill Kristol. How many years have I called that magazine the Meekly Standard, run by this fool, Bill Kristol? Bill Kristol, if he didn't have a rich father and he didn't have the money to start the Weekly Standard, which has a very low circulation, and admittedly some of the writers are very good, this guy is such a hater, Bill Kristol, that according to Breitbart, he's laid out a strategy to give White House to Hillary. Trump shouldn't win. They're willing to burn down the electorate in order to make certain that Donald Trump doesn't win. Why? Why does Kristol so hate a guy like Donald Trump? There are a few reasons. Bill Kristol's entire existence is based upon the fact that he's never done anything in his life on his own. He's never achieved anything on his own. In other words, he's got a high degree of jealousy of a very successful man. Don't dismiss the hatred based upon jealousy. The racist element, you know where that's coming from. It's all the losers who hate white people, basically. Here's an article on the top of Drudge: illegal storm border before the Trump wall. Isn't that pathetic? That we have such an evil president that he would permit foreigners to invade our nation at such a rate before an election, and he's not stopped. This is the Savage Nation. Our number one is going to be a little bit about politics, a little bit about food in South Florida, because I'm a little tired of the politics, and I'm waiting for a greasy hero sandwich to violate my diet. I'm salivating. The food down here is so good. You order one calzone, you get a free ticket to a cardiac ward. In fact, you order two calzones, you get one artery free. You order three calzones, you get two arteries free at the local cardiac surgery. And in hour number two, we're going to talk about regrets. What are your regrets? Remember I did that show a few weeks ago? There's a young guy here who used to be a producer of mine. He's a great guy, Brennan. I haven't seen him in years. And we shook hands. I said, how are you? He's still working. He's doing great. He said, your shows in the last few weeks have been out of the park. I said, what do you like about him? Another young man in his 20s. He said, well, I just like him. I said, okay, I'll put you on the spot. Which show did you like the best? He said, regrets. I said, you're a young guy. I said, why do you think that clicked? He said, I would think because everybody has a regret in their life that they're unwilling to admit, except on a radio show where no one knows who they are. So if you have a regret, let's throw it out right now. 855-407-282, 855-400-SAVAGE. We can talk about any of these topics. I think we're politicked out. I mean, we had already the Super Tuesday. Trump won. He won everything. And the Republican establishment, the evil Republican establishment, has shown themselves to be as corrupt as we suspected. They want to destroy the country. They're actually talking about electing Hillary. They'd rather see Hillary win than Trump. Can you believe this? Yes. That's how Obama has managed to survive all these years. Because whether you know it or not, someone very wise years ago said that it's a Democrat or Republican party. It was me. Republican, Democrat party, it makes no difference. One party system, two card Monty, three shells, one P, whichever way you want to put it. The American people have been deceived and screwed for years by these establishmentarians. And so you say, well, wait, Mike, how could a rich white guy worth X billions of dollars, whether it's 10, 5, 4, doesn't matter. He's a rich man. How could they hate him so much? Doesn't it make sense that Donald Trump would be one of them? Well, it would make sense, but he isn't. That's why he's so popular. Because even the average guy likes Donald Trump because they know he's not one of them. He's not a member of the two-party con game. He's not a member of the Democrat con game. He's not a member of the Republican con game. He probably doesn't read the Meekly Standard. He probably reads the Drudge Report and listens to the Savage Nation if he listens to radio at all. And they hate him for that. So how many different things can we say about this now? Even if he wins the popular vote, they're going to try and steal it through a brokered convention. If they do that, you know what's going to happen. It'll be the end of the Republican Party, but guess what? They don't care. You don't seem to understand that. Many of you are saying if Republicans sabotage Trump, it will destroy the Republican Party. Folks, there is no Republican Party. It's a party of none. It's a party of none. A few people in a back room who control the purse strings and rip us off. It's that simple. So what have I said that you can't say? I want to hear more about your regrets. I think that's what you want to hear. I think on a day like today, you'd rather hear people calling in with their regrets, and it might trigger some of your own. Are you sorry that you married the man that you married, ladies? You get priority. Are you sorry you didn't have children? Or worse, are you sorry you did have children? We're living in such a degenerate time that many people today who are grown with children say, you know, I wish I was like them today. I just would have partied and had a good time. Don't think people don't think that. Old people walking around in Florida can't even, their heads don't even fit over the steering wheel. They're probably driving around wishing that they were still party animals. One guy was 85 years old. We were honking at him. There were a bridge that was going up. The guy is 90. He gave us the finger. Have they no idea that people get hurt for things like that? Not from me. I'm a nice guy, but there are crazy people out there. Liberal Democrats and sobs who kill. You got to be careful of them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's what day of the week? It is Wednesday on the Savage Nation. It's the day after. I feel like the day after Sunday in the zoo when the primates even are depressed. Do you ever see the primates on a Monday after the zoo day? What would happen is well known in the years I was writing health books that a day after visitor day in the zoos, the primates were lethargic. They would sleep. They wouldn't move around because they had so much garbage food thrown over the wall, candy corn, sweets. The gorilla would eat the sweets. He'd have a sugar collapse, a low blood sugar event. The next day, he didn't even want to move. You could throw anything at him. That's how most of us feel today. We feel like primates after the visitor day. We're half asleep. I could ask you why Trump is hated. I know why he's hated. I could ask you questions about the election. I will certainly take them. I think it would be a valid thing to do on a day like today. We know that Hillary Clinton is a race baiter of the lowest order. We know that she is winning votes with vile race games, according to Betsy McCarthy of the New York Post, who wrote a great article on this. She wrote, Hillary Clinton is sweeping the Democratic primaries across the South by capturing nearly all the black vote, a staggering 86% in South Carolina, but she's doing it with poisonous lies designed to stoke racial resentment. Clinton routinely tells blacks that they are victims of systemic racism, and then Clinton scolds whites for not demonstrating more humility. Clinton falsely claims discrimination is causing the higher poverty and incarceration rates among blacks. She writes there isn't a shred of evidence to back up her claims, yet she gets a pass from the media. Let's separate facts from her racially inflammatory fictions. On the campaign trail, she complains, quote, race still plays a significant role in determining who gets ahead in America and who gets left behind. And she notes that black families have just a tiny fraction of the wealth of white families. Well, yes, there's a wealth gap. Hillary blames it on racism instead of confronting the self-destructive choices young blacks are encouraged to make by a welfare system that subsidizes girls having babies before they finish their education or marry. Now listen to this statistic before you open your big mouth, liberals. A troubling 73% of black children are born to single mothers. That's not a vestige of slavery, she writes, as some liberals would have you believe. Listen to this fact. In 1950, before widespread welfare, the figure was only 18%. 18% in 1950 of black children were born to single mothers. After the Clinton regime and Obama, 73% of black children are born to single mothers. It is well known that people who finish high school, hold a job, and do not have children until they are 21, and have a steady partner are almost never poor, says black Columbia professor John McWhorter. Clinton rages against a school-to-prison pipeline, blaming, quote, racist schools that disproportionately suspend black students. She blames racist police, quote-unquote, who target blacks. And then she blames racist judges who mete out longer sentences to blacks than whites. Again, she's got the facts wrong. And we will give you the facts right here on the very factual Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640. You know, they level words at Trump that don't apply to him, but they apply to Hillary like racist. She is playing the race card to the hilt. And we've been talking about a wonderful article, Hillary Clinton is winning votes with vile race games, by Betsy McCarthy in the New York Post. We've given you facts. She feeds lies. She attacks white people. How any white person could ever vote for her is a mark of the drugged America that we live in. You see the rallies with the stooges sitting there. I saw one the other day in North Dakota. A Marine who served the nation, got up to challenge her husband, the great man, Bill Clinton. And he shouted him down, and the morons in the audience, all white people in North Dakota, shouted at the Marine like cattle. Mmm. They went, mmm. They looked like the bovine animals that they herd on their ranches. Mmm. Sit down. Sit down. Mmm. Well, the fact of the matter is she feeds lies, and this inflammatory rhetoric is so unhealthy for the future of America that it's frightening. She says it's racist judges and racist police and racist schools that are responsible for suspending black students and arresting blacks by the police, and evil judges who give out longer sentences to blacks. Well, Betsy McCarthy points out that the facts don't support that. Evidence of a school-to-prison pipeline is laughably weak, notes Manhattan Institute scholar Heather McDonald. while black students are suspended at twice the rate of Hispanics, excuse me, twice the rate of Hispanics and whites, blacks misbehave more, another consequence of inadequate parenting and failure to stress school achievement at home. And it's ridiculous to suggest racist educators are to blame. Teaching is among the most liberal professions. At schools, Hillary proposes ending suspensions and keeping disruptive students in the classroom while they get counseling. What a nonsensical idea that is. Mayor Bill de Blasio tried that. And guess what happened? When the communist mayor of New York, the most clueless demagogue in the history of New York's mayoralty, he tried that, and assaults shot up 40% the first year. And the true victims of this misguided policy are kids who want to learn. Obama dignified race hustler Al Sharpton with roles at the White House many times. That vile street agitator was invited into our White House. And now Hillary, of all people, is seeking this vile race hustler's advice. She concludes the article by saying, Al Sharpton advising Hillary Clinton, she ought to repudiate him as the David Duke of her party. Amen to that. That opens up 43 lines at 855-407-282. Now, I don't know how many lines are sold out, but I know I'm here, and I'm enjoying the show. I'm standing in downtown Palm Beach, staring at a freeway and a lake. There's so many lakes down here. I don't know where they come from, but there's a lot of them. That's where the alligators bathe. They take off the old people. It's like the Eskimos used to be put out on the ice to die. In this part of Florida, the elders just push them out into the lake area, and the alligators feast on them. I'm joking. Come on. It's because I'm eating here right now. I'll tell you the truth. The food is so awful. It's wonderful. I haven't eaten like this in years. Why are the prices so much cheaper for food on the East Coast and the West? Why do they rip us off like this? A pasta with marinara sauce was $8.95. You know what I pay for that in San Francisco? $29.95. And it's inedible. Pasta with meatballs, $9.95. You know what I pay for that in San Francisco? You can't get it. Because it's GMO. The meatballs are GMO. They're not hippie meatballs. A hippie meatball, $29.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation, 34 minutes after the hour, live from South Florida, courtesy of WFTL Studios. Again, I want to thank them for hosting me, my home studio in the home I have down here. 8 in the morning, it went down. Here we are. The worst food I've ever eaten in my life is not here. It's so good. I don't think I can talk. I feel stupefied from it. Man my age eating pizza, sausages, cheese, things I never eat, I'm eating now. I say, well, doesn't that make you a hypocrite? No, not really. Even a monk has to go over the wall every once in a while and, as they say, chase the red petticoats. That's a metaphor, by the way, for those of you who know literature. Chinese literature said even a monk needs to go over the wall every once in a while and chase the red petticoats. I mean, they know what they were doing. Watch out for the purists who never go over the wall. They're the ones who are the worst and the most dangerous because they're going over the wall whether you know it or not. They're just not telling you about it. They're telling you what to do, and they're punishing you if you step out of line. Watch out for the purists. That's all I can say to you. Well, we have a problem in America because it's not the purists who are destroying the most populist candidate in modern American history. The purists would be the Cruz people. It's not the purists who are really the problem. It's the utter fakers like Bill Kristol of the Weekly Standard, in my opinion. I have to say in my opinion, so I can't get sued. But in my opinion, he is the biggest fraud in the history of journalism, in my opinion. And I think the Weekly Standard is the weakest publication in the history of conservative media, in my opinion. And in my opinion is that that opinion is perfectly valid as an opinion. So it's the day after. Day after, supposed to get excited now today and eat my heart out over it. I can't. It's all up to Trump. What can we do about it? We're just the idiots who vote. All we can do is counter the lies and put out the real message. The real message is Hillary Clinton is the race hater. The real message is Hillary is winning votes with vile race games. The real message is that Hillary is the danger, is a danger to our survival. And the real message is that any white person who votes for Hillary Clinton is basically digging their own grave and throwing the lime into the pit. Put that down and see if I'm wrong. You're digging your own grave because she is steaming up non-white people against whites. You want to be perfectly blunt about it? Listen to everything that comes out of her mouth. Listen to what she does wherever she goes. She blames white people for everything that's wrong in America and the world. And she's feeding into the third world narrative of these wonderful third worlders who bust their way into the country. And the minute they get here, they start putting the country down and stepping on our flag. And that's exactly why they hate Donald Trump. Because the new sheriff is coming to town and they know it. And they're afraid of him. They fear the real American man standing up. And they also know that if he stands up and wins, there are 30, 40 million people like him who are going to stand up for America. And they can't have that. Vicente Fox calling him names. When have you last seen Guatemalans allowed to emigrate into Mexico or El Salvadorans or Nicaraguans? The answer is never. They tell us we have no right to our own borders. Now, of course, the liberals have joined this parade a long time ago. They're self-hating individuals, generally, with their snickering. You know, whenever I say liberal, what I think of are those weekly... Let me put it another way. Think of Rachel Maddow. Rachel Maddow is a snickering, snide human being who is full of insecurities. She despises herself. It's obvious by her sophomoric innuendos at every turn. She represents everything wrong with America. Trump represents everything right with America. A rich man who made it on his own. Say, well, no, he didn't make it on his own. He inherited all that money. Well, he didn't. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people I know inherited money and blew it. I can name them, but I won't because I get sued. I know people who've inherited a lot. He's smiling. I know a lot of people who've inherited money and blown every dime. They've inherited millions of dollars, and they couldn't make more money with it. They lost every penny through stupidity, through bad investments, through drugs, through alcohol, through running around with women. Idiots. So don't assume that if you inherited money, you'd be rich like Donald Trump. You might be a loser anyway. I had an uncle once, God rest his soul. I'm not going to mention his name because the family doesn't listen to the show anyway. They're all liberals in New York. And when I was a young college student, I remember I was 18, 17, who knows when, Queens College, I was being brainwashed with liberal ideas. And I came home, and we'd argue. We had a very intelligent family. And we would argue about the same exact things in many ways. And I was the young liberal coming out of college, or still in college. And I'd say, well, you know, those rich people, they're no good, this and that. I heard the same garbage from the professors. All the Europeans who fled Hitler came here, the first thing to do was poison the youth. The minds of the youth. Instead of thanking America for taking them in, they poisoned the youth. Don't get me started on that one. Don't get me started on the Ellis Island mentality. Please, don't let me go there, because I won't be happy and you won't be happy. So we would argue. So my mind was being brainwashed by these professors who had fled Europe, these emigres. And they're telling me about this. I didn't know it was socialism or anti-Americanism. I had no idea what it was. But the lie was is that the rich were no good. And they were stealing everything. And my uncle, I didn't even know his politics. He said to me, you know, Michael, as you get older, you're going to discover something. You're going to find out that if the whole system collapsed and there was a revolution, he said to me, the very same people who are rich will wind up running the country anyway. Only they'll call themselves something else like communists. He said the winners are going to be winners anyway, no matter what happens. And that stuck with me forever. Because if you look around in the left-wing circles in America, you think they're poor? How do you explain that so many left-wingers are billionaires? How do you explain that? Because they know how to bamboozle idiots like Rachel Maddow, in my opinion. And speaking of my opinion, we also have many callers on the issue of regrets, which I know you're waiting to hear on the program, on the Savage Nation. I'm with you today. I was with you yesterday. I was with you on Monday. Donald Trump was on the show, again disavowing the KKK smear. And you know what was amazing? They did it again last night. People who should be arrested for what they're doing. You know, I agree with them. There should be libel lawsuits against guys like Jake Tapper, in my opinion. If there were libel laws that permitted you to sue people who smear you, guys like Jake Tapper would be in prison. They'd be in the poorhouse. He put out the big lie on the KKK. It stuck because that's what the liberals do, is they lie about you and then they say he was that, even though it's not true. And he never retracted it. But Fox was no better. Trump goes on the air, and again they attack him on it. And that thing Rubio, that creature, the ice cream man,
Did you hear that soundbite? Long after Trump never accepted the Ku Klux Klan's endorsement, to begin with, this creature, the ice cream man from Miami, is repeating the big lie. Robert, play that thing from the creature, the ice cream man.
In these races, usually what happens is you have a front runner, and at some point everybody comes around and says we have to rally behind the front runner for the good of the party. They're saying the opposite. They're saying we have to rally to stop Donald Trump, who's a world-class con artist, and a guy who wouldn't even criticize the Ku Klux Klan, from being our nominee, because he'll do tremendous damage to the conservative movement and to the Republican Party. So we're going to be in this race as long as it takes to ensure that he never gets to 1,237 delegates, and we do.
I have no comments on Rubio other than calling him what he is, a shill. He's a representative of the conservative movement, Mr. Open Borders, the man who stands for no borders, no language, and no culture, a stooge of Larry Ellison, in my opinion, and of Sheldon Adelson, in my opinion, and of other secret hands that want cheap labor, in my opinion. But I don't think you want to talk about that, in my opinion. In my opinion, what you want to talk about are regrets. I think people would rather hear regrets than anything else. So without any further ado, let's take a few calls on the regret issue. Let's go to KSFO in San Francisco on line 8. Dale, go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. I'm from Iowa. I stream you every day. I love your show. 16 years ago, I went to the Philippines and met a woman and brought her fiancé visa. And I kind of related to that, John, except, you know, he regretted that he didn't get married. I regret that I did get married and had two kids. I had a successful insurance business. And then as soon as we had the second child, she wanted to go to work and wanted me to take care of the kids. And so she went out and got some dead-end job. And then here I was trying to run an insurance business and take care of two kids. I ran the business out of the house. And then eventually, because of Obamacare, I sold my business because the commissions were cut so bad I could barely make a living at it. And so now...
Wait. You regret marrying the woman. She was like a mail-order bride, in other words. What, did you meet her online? You looked at pictures of women from that country, and you found one who you thought was sweet and nice?
No, I just went to the country and then met the women in person.
How do you meet them? Through these agencies?
No. You just go there, and then they work at the malls, and then...
Wait. You mean she was a bar girl?
No. Not a bar girl. I mean, you go to the malls and shopping. You know, it's a weird society. It's two class. It's lower class and upper class.
Wait, so you picked up a woman, a shop assistant, in plain English?
Sales clerk. She was a sales clerk.
All right. Well, you chatted her up. She gave you the big smile. She saw the gringo. You saw the pretty girl. The next thing is history, and she destroyed your life.
Right.
All right, so where is she today, the doll?
Well, we're still married and have two kids, but whenever there's any problems with the kids, like if there's discipline problems or the behavior problems, she always blames me and says that I'm blaming you because this is your this is your family, it's your genetics. When I grew up, we never argued.
Oh, she uses that on you. That's a funny one.
Absolutely, and I can't.
She blames your genes for the bad behavior of your children with her.
Absolutely. And she'll always say, she had five siblings, and she'll say, my family was poor, but we were happy. You know, so they lived in a utopia society, and she...
What, they were very poor, what they lived in, like a bamboo hut, and the father beat them?
No. The parents were very kind, and then I think she killed her father because she went to Manila. They lived in the center of the Philippines.
What's the bottom line in the story? You're calling a national talk show on the subject of regrets. You regret marrying basically a mail-order bride, and you say she's destroying your life. Is there nothing you can do about it?
Well, I mean, there's divorce, but then we both live in poverty.
Okay, so you're stuck together for financial reasons. That's not so uncommon, Dale. You know, that's not an uncommon reason for people staying together. And so what, you're gonna have to live out the rest of your life miserably.
You're 18, and which I've got another, 6 years, basically, and then I can split.
Wait, what do you mean 6 years? I missed that. 6 years to do what?
Well, the kids will be 18.
Oh, so you're waiting for them to grow up to the legal age and leave so you can leave her?
Yeah.
But wait, you're still going to divorce her then?
Well, whatever, I mean, runoff, plea of divorce, does it make a difference?
So you're living in pain, and what I'm worried about here is that it's so bad. I can't help you with this. I know that there's divorce for a reason, and I thank you for calling. That's all. How can I help him? I'm not a marriage counselor, nor am I going to sit here and say he should get along with her. Maybe he made the whole story up. He could be a friend of mine under a fake voice. There's one guy I know. You talk about rich kids who are losers. I know someone like, oh, don't ask. Went through every dime of his father. Made the family. Look at Pacific Heights in San Francisco. Take a look at the children of the so-called elite on Pacific Heights. It's sad. I'm not gloating about it. Heroin, addiction, degeneracy. None of them work. They make nothing of their lives. All they do is buy expensive clothing and cars and march around in the street like they're important people. Why is that? Because they didn't have the tough, mean upbringing that I had. I had an immigrant father who yelled at me almost every day and told me I was worthless. Did it work? Yes. Look how successful I am. He did it. He said for my sake. And you know what? Probably I was the kind of kid who probably would have gone the wrong way if I didn't have a tough father, looking back. And you think it was unusual for men of his time? He was a very strict disciplinarian. And he told me that it had to be, I had to make it on my own. He didn't have much money to leave me. He wasn't poor, but he said, you want to make it in America, you're going to have to do it on your own. You want to go to college, you're going to have to do it on your own. Anything you want to do in life, you have to do it on your own. We don't have money. We don't have any connections. That's what I love about the people who are immigrants or of color. They assume all white people are connected to each other, and we give each other a wink and a handshake, a secret handshake, and help each other. I want to remind you, no one helped me any stage of the way. It was through sheer brains and willpower that you achieve anything in this world. It's now, I think we're near a break time, isn't it, Robert? I have no idea. I'm such in a new studio. I have clocks, but they don't work. They don't tell me the time. My dog isn't here. I have headphones on, which are deafening me. I never use headphones. I have a very special system in all my houses. They're very expensive. I never had a headphone on in my life, which is why I have good hearing. Why I'm not deaf. I have no hearing loss. Because I hate headphones, in my opinion. They're bad for your ears, in my opinion. And I'll be back in a few minutes, in my opinion.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO.
It is the Savage Nation, broadcasting live from the wondrous South Florida, courtesy of WFTL Studios. And I don't know, Florida's pretty beautiful this time of year. It's cold, by the way. You know, it's warmer in San Francisco than it is out here. I really didn't come here for the weather. I came to get away from those allergies that were killing me. So I'm feeling much better. I'll be off the air tomorrow, Friday. So I figured I have to tell you in advance. We have wonderful fill-ins because I'm going somewhere for a couple of days to get some R&R, and I'll be back, God willing, Sunday night, and then Monday back at the microphone. Because it's after the thing already. I mean, how much can we talk about this thing? How much can we talk about it already? You know, get the election over with, and let the people decide. Yeah, right. Wouldn't that be nice? Just let the people decide. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Without the media, without the stooges in between us. Look what Hillary gets away with, and look what Obama gets away with, that lying Okay, I won't go there. I just can't take it anymore. The lies, the deceit of this guy in the White House, how he abuses his office, how he abuses the Treasury, how he abuses the people, how he steps over Congress, how he steps over the Supreme Court, how, I must say to you, the First Lady abuses her office. You know, you're not supposed to say it. Do you know any other First Ladies who have over 70 personal assistants? It's unheard of. Why is that not a topic for Jake Tapper, the most daring man in the history of communist media? How come he hasn't? We're doing an exclusive 60 Minutes report on the number of personal assistants that the First Lady currently has, comparing her abuse of office with others before her. That would be a great show. Maybe people will get angry for once at what they're getting away with. Then we got the other topics. It's all about abuse of power. The media is the most abusive of power of any element of our society. And men like Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper, in my opinion, if Trump becomes president, we should change libel laws, and they should be called on the carpet for what they're doing to the American people. I'll be back. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It's the party of class warfare. Race warfare, sex warfare, meaning the party of Hillary Clinton, wins. We will descend into medieval times in the United States of America. Now, all the guns of the vermin in the media are aimed at Donald Trump because he stands for America, in plain English. He is a, I would say, moderate nationalist. He stands certainly for our borders, which means he stands for our language, which means he stands for our culture, which is why the vermin in the media hate him, which is why Mexico hates him, which is why China hates him. Of course they've had such a good deal. Why would they not hate him? If you were robbing a country blind because you were able to buy off the politicians for so many years through their lobbyists like Madeleine Albright, if you were able to buy off lobbyists and sell your garbage and manipulate your currency and bury a nation in trade war, why would you not want it to continue? A man comes along and says, enough is enough. I'm not going to let you do it anymore. You're going to have fair trade. You're not going to do this to us anymore. Of course you do everything you can, including buying newspapers, magazines, owning the stooges in the media one way or another, and have them tell the people that the man who's trying to save the country is actually the man who's trying to destroy the country. That's the beginning of hour number two on the Savage Nation. You know, I hope that you don't have regrets after the election coming up in November. And say, God, why didn't I listen to guys like Savage? He was trying to warn us that the race baiting of Hillary Clinton, the class warfare of Hillary Clinton, would lead us to medieval times in America. Why didn't I listen to him? Why did I dismiss Michael Savage as a this or as a that? I want to tell you something. The very same things that you've heard about me that are not true have been promoted by the very same forces that are attacking Donald Trump. Just make no mistake about it. That's exactly what's going on. If I were running for office, which I told you I would never do, I told you that many times, I don't have the nature for it, and I'm watching Trump, I don't know how he takes it. To be frank, I didn't know he was this tough. A man of any age. The hatred that is being heaped upon this man is something I have never seen. When you think of Lilliputians like Wolf Blitzer, Jake Tapper, and the others in the media, Lilliputians, they're small men. And you think that they are expending more hatred on Donald Trump than on the head of ISIS, who orchestrates the rape, the industrial rape of young girls, the kidnapping, blowing up houses of worship. Does that not tell you everything you need to know about what's wrong with the media in America? Think about the people who hate Trump most. Just watch them in the media, whether it's Megyn Kelly, who's becoming the portrait of Dorian Kelly right in front of our eyes, going from a beautiful woman with a chiseled face into some bar girl. She increasingly looks like a girl in a bad bar somewhere. I see it happening right in front of our eyes, and it's because she knows she's wrong. But she needs to do this to satisfy the mogul who owns her, in my estimation, in my opinion. By the way, that mogul is getting married to Mick Jagger's former wife, whatever her name is. Rupert Murdoch, I mean, he's getting married, God bless him, 84, still in love. Marries a 59-year-old. That's a hot ticket. That's a real hot ticket. How come there's no criticism of Rupert Murdoch by the media? Answer, he owns it. Why aren't they criticizing him? He owns the media. What do you mean, why are they not criticizing him? If you want to work in this town, you don't criticize him, that's all. Trump doesn't own anything in the media, incidentally. It's very interesting. He doesn't own any television stations. He doesn't own any radio stations. He doesn't own any publications. Maybe I could talk to him about that. Maybe I'll set up a media division for him. I don't know. No, I'm way past wanting to build any business in my life. I'll tell you that. I'm handling all I can personally handle. But he should consider doing what the others have done, which is own the media so you control the public's mind. But the Molotov cocktails that are being thrown by MSNBC and Fox, Weekly Standard, are astounding. They're throwing inflammatory firebombs into a crowded theater. So there's nothing more that I can say about it. I've told you what I think. I've told you what the facts are. We know that Trump is the front runner. We know he's beloved by most of the people on the Republican side of things. We know the party hates him because he doesn't represent the special interests. We know all of that. And yet we also fear deep down in our guts that the evildoers in this country, the party of George Bush, will steal the election from us by hook or by crook, giving it to Hillary Clinton. So you say, well, why would they want a demagogue like Hillary Clinton to win the presidency rather than Donald Trump? You haven't added it up, have you? Because there is no difference fundamentally at the top between the Democrats and the Republicans. I've told you it's an oligarchy since 1994. I've told you it's a Democrat or Republican party since 1994. So to the oligarchs who run things, it doesn't really matter who's running things as long as they're all in the same game and they can all benefit financially from the system. But once an outsider comes along, whether that outsider be a reporter, a renegade scientist, a renegade talk show host, that outsider becomes the greatest threat in their minds to their future well-being. And so they go, they stop it. No, there's no stopping them with what they will do to smear anyone who threatens their livelihood. It's all financial at the end of the day, and power is finance at the end of the day, incidentally. And so since there's nothing more to say than what I have already said on this issue, I believe that we should talk about the issue that I think is a human interest issue on the Savage Nation today, and that is the regrets show. People have been saying to me, not just the young producer who told me here at FDL Studios that he loved that show. I said, why would a young man think that a show about regrets is a good one? And he said, because probably everyone listening to the show has one regret or another in their life. And they really never talk about it. I said, why? He said, because everyone says, I have no regrets. I used to hear that all the time when I was young. Oh, I have no regrets from older people. I never even knew what they were talking about. Everyone has regrets. I don't. I'm the only man alive who has no regrets. I really don't have any. It's funny. I got to tell you the truth. I said this on the show before when I did the show. When I was younger, yes, I had regrets. When I was like 35, 40, 45, in that era of my life, I used to look back and say, why did I do this? Why did I do that? Why did I take that turn? Why did I go there? I had a lot of regrets at that point because things weren't working out for me. But I got to tell you something. Through hard work, enormously hard work. Every day is hard work on the radio. Make no mistake about it. And writing books, very hard work. Really hard work. But no one's forcing me to do it. I enjoy it. It's what I do. It's like a fish saying it's hard to swim or a bird saying it's hard to fly. That's what a fish does. That's what a bird does. It's what I do. What I'm saying to you is, looking back on my life personally, I have no regrets. And I said this to you last time when I did the regret show. I think it was Aldous Huxley who wrote the following line. Life must be lived forward, but it can only be understood backward. I read that when I was 18 and reading Huxley. And as I've gotten older, it's 100% true. In other words, you have to live your life, and then you look back, then you'll understand it all. And the things that you saw looking back as mistakes were not mistakes at all. They were part of the blows you had to take to be where you are today. I mean, it's absolutely true. You're going to get hurt in life. This is something that the idiots in colleges haven't learned yet. All the sensitive people. And you say one word already, they're calling a shutdown of the school. They're all with the boo-hoo faces. They get into college. They were never entitled to go to begin with. They were let in for one reason or another. They can't keep up. And right away, every statement is a threat to their very being. Life is such that you're going to be injured. Emotionally, psychologically, physically, one way or the other. It doesn't matter who you are. You're not getting out of this life without some damage, physical, emotional, or mental. You're going to be damaged. And the only thing you can do about it is making yourself strong enough to withstand it. Or as, again, Huxley wrote, in times of strength, prepare for times of weakness. That's a great one. You know, and right now, politically speaking, we in America are going through somewhat times of strength in a strange way. We still have our strength. The evil man in the White House has not yet taken away everything from us. We still have strength in this country. In fact, we're so strong that a man has emerged, arisen amongst us. A man, by the way, who you'd never expect. A billionaire representing the average man. Think about that. When in history has a billionaire ever been able to appeal to the average man? Never. Never. You would think that a man of this type would have risen from, let's say, a poorer class of people. But he didn't. This is interesting. So you look at what's going on in America today. You see, look what's occurring now. We're in a time of strength. And we should prepare of a time of weakness for a time of weakness, because if, God forbid, the haters, the race baiters, the class warfare artists, the evildoers in this country should elect Hillary Clinton, we will be living in very hurtful times. Times you could never imagine would occur will be occurring. We will revert to medieval times in many ways in this country. Mark it down. We will have medieval times in this country if that Clinton gang takes control of this nation again. If you let the Republican Party destroy the only candidate that we care about and elect Hillary Clinton, the Clinton family will bring us to medieval times in this country, in my estimation. And now let's go to some callers. In New York on WABC, Lori, line 3, go ahead, please.
Hi, I just want to say that 10 years ago, I did a really bad choice. I was under a lot of stress, and I hit my dad. We were fighting for months over my doing animal rescue in his rented house. And I do animal rescue. I'm an activist. And I was, I guess I'm called a collector.
Good for you. God bless you. You're a good-hearted person. Thank God that there are people like you doing animal rescue. But what, the issue was, it was in his house, and he said they're messing up the house?
Oh, my God. Well, no. I had him neutered. But I had 102, Michael. And
wait, are you mixing it? Wait. You had your father neutered?
They ruined the house. My father's...
Wait. You neutered your father?
I started a public
cavity. You neutered your father? You knew I was pulling. You said I had him neutered, so I couldn't resist. You had 102 animals in your father's house, and he freaked out?
He didn't live there. I was there 17 years by myself. You know, I was, like, already 43 years old. I didn't know what else to do because they, you know, I couldn't...
All right, so you're a little bit of a weirdo. That's what it takes to rescue animals, by the way. So what? So what if you're weird? God loves weird people.
I was in jail, and they basically killed 16 cats and my dog.
Wait, now you're in jail. Oh, wait, I'm missing. You had 102 animals in the house. It was a rental house that your father owned. He came and mouthed off on you, and you hit him, and you went. They had you put in jail?
And then he called me, you know, the B word, and I was in his van. I backhanded him in the van while he was driving. He got a bloody nose. He was fine, like, the next week.
And he pressed charges?
They went berserk on me. I found out that I was hitting a fireman. I wasn't hitting my dad. I was hitting a fireman. No, they indicted.
Wait a minute. Wait. You mean because he was a fireman, the charges escalated?
Yes, they did. The first judge wanted to.
Wait. Hold it. What kind of father lets them do that to his daughter?
Oh, he loves his. They just wanted me out of the house, and they were finding a way to do it. And
all right. So the worst thing you ever did, your regret, is hitting your father. If you had it to do over again, you wouldn't have hit him, right?
No, baby. My regret is letting my animals down.
In other words, when you went to jail, what happened to the animals? They were killed, executed?
They refused to feed the animals inside the house. SPCA refused to feed...
All right, this is too heartbreaking. I can't take it. You know, my family happens to be in the animal rescue field. We do a lot of that. You don't know that about me. I never boast about it. I never talk about it. I have this image, oh, Mr. this, Mr. that. We do an awful lot for dogs. We do for gorillas, elephants, an awful lot. And I never talk about it because it's not to boast about. But you're bringing up a very important point. I think that the people who rescue animals are blessed people. So where are you today? You still rescuing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How many do you have now?
58 cats and 2 dogs. And I will...
Wait a minute.
Out my location.
Wait a minute. First of all, when you say that, I mean, I'm allergic to cats. My throat closes up just saying, you say 58 cats, I can never have a cup of coffee in your house.
I pay for each adoption for $60 at my vet. I pay for every neuter and spay. I put them back out.
Lori, before you go, what do you do for a living? Do you work?
I am the weirdest person you can find. I am on disability for depression, illness, and I now have a felony conviction.
Wait, but you don't have enough money on disability to take care of 58 cats.
They were supporting me so long that I started a public charity.
Oh, so you got a scam going, in other words. You're on disability and you have a charity going. Good for you.
No. The public, nobody will donate because I don't have a location.
All right, honey, look, I don't know what the truth is here. All I know is this. Your number one regret is you hit your father, backhanded him, and you wound up in jail, right?
They killed my father.
Thank you so much for listening to the Savage Nation. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYC. Are you ready for a little story, those of you who love immigrants and think anyone who doesn't want Muslims coming here is a racist? Here's a little story for you. Attention liberals. Attention liberal shoppers. Allah ordered child beheading, nanny says at Moscow court. You heard me. A nanny accused of decapitating a young girl in her care and then walking through the street of Moscow, holding the baby's head. On Wednesday said, quote, Allah ordered the killing as she appeared in a Moscow court. Now, what should I do? Cover this up? The suspect is from Muslim-majority Uzbekistan, whom the Russian press have dubbed the Bloody Nanny. She was detained Monday as she was waving the child's severed head outside a metro station in northwestern Moscow. Could you imagine being the parent of that little child? It was what Allah ordered, the 38-year-old told journalists as she was brought into the district court to have her arrest confirmed and extended. Speaking in broken Russian, the nanny said, Allah is sending a second prophet to give news of peace. She also said she was hungry and had not been fed. Now, what can you make of a story like this? Yeah, she's just crazy. It has nothing to do with her religion. She hijacked the religion. It has nothing to do with Islam. Don't even talk about it like that. I got the whole picture. Okay. Well, she said Allah told her to do it, not me.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287.
So one of the key appeals about Donald Trump is his issue of stopping immigration in plain English. Now, why do Americans want immigration stopped? Let's be clear. Let's stop mincing words. We want it stopped from Mexico. We want it stopped from China. We want it stopped from Iran. We want it stopped from everywhere on earth. We want it stopped from Africa. We want it stopped from Muslim countries in particular. Why? Because we're sane. Because we're super sane. In fact, we're so sane that we finally found the candidate willing to express our sanity. Now, here's the microcosm of a story about immigration gone awry. Russia. Nanny runs down the street with the head of a little girl she was watching that she cut off. Arrested today, she says the child was, her head was cut off because Allah ordered her to do it. So I said, well, you can't blame a religion. No, you can't blame a religion, but you can blame this religion. If you would like to, or you could not blame this religion if you'd like not to. What does religion have to do with this nut taking a little girl 3 years old who had suffered learning disorders, a disabled girl, in other words, she was a nanny. She cut the baby up in the apartment, butchered the baby, then set the apartment on fire, and then threatened people in the streets that she was going to blow the whole neighborhood up. So now they look into this Muslim's background. Now, what's the background? Are you ready for this? I'll give you a little of the background. Law enforcement officials in Russia are saying Boba Kurova had recently been brainwashed by her Tajik lover, who was apparently a radical Muslim himself. So the poison, the toxin of radical Islam, Mr. Barack Obama, the toxin of radical Islam poisoned this schizophrenic woman. Citing Uzbek police, they said the woman had suffered schizophrenia for 15 years, but she was not violent. A family friend said the live-in nanny who butchered the baby had recently become very religious. She spent a lot of time online and brought home a prayer mat. 3 or 4 years old. She butchered the little girl who had suffered from epilepsy and learning disabilities. My heart is sick. Sick at the family's apartment in northwestern Moscow. Torched it, fled the scene. Russians saw the agitated woman dressed in black, threatening to blow everyone up, saying she shouted Allahu Akbar, which is Arabic for God is greatest, as she paced up and down outside a metro station. Now, this shocking incident has shaken usually hard-bitten Muscovites. They cannot believe something like this will be done to a little child in the name of a religion. But here's something you should know. Russia's national television channels have refused to cover the killing. Refused to cover the killing. Do you know why? Ask yourself why Wolf Blitzer and all of the other reindeer on Santa's sleigh won't cover a story like this. On Blitzer, on Tapper, on Dancer, on all. Why won't they cover stories like this? Well, you know why they won't cover it, because it doesn't fit the narrative that some immigrants are not really great. And that maybe we should do what Trump said and not let Muslims into the country till we can, quote, figure this out. That's all he said. Until we can figure it out. He never said we're kicking Muslims out of America. That's something for the MSNBC crowd that they made up. Russian police arrest woman seen waving child's head. Woman who decapitated the child didn't act alone. Woman on trial in Russia says Allah ordered her to behead the child. Nanny waving child severed head detained in Moscow. Didn't make it to the CNN, did it? Did it make it to Fox? Is Megan the Smirker Kelly covering it? No, it's anti-Trump coverage around the clock. So you say, what does this have to do with the election? Everything. Because we the people understand that not all immigrants come here to work. Not all immigrants who come here are wonderful people. Some of them don't belong here. And until we can figure out a way to figure out who does belong here and who doesn't, we have to stop all immigration. We have to build a wall. That's really the commonsensical thing to do. My grandfather was an immigrant. He had to go through Ellis Island. I've told you the story before, but I'll repeat it again. It's worth repeating. They didn't just wave him in and give him an ACLU card and free medical care and a free apartment and free food stamps and free cheese and a free Obama phone. He had to go through screening to come into this great country. He had to prove he was self-sufficient. He had to prove he was going to work. He had to prove he had no criminal record. That's how immigration worked in the same country. Until a psycho, you know who started this, don't you? The drunk. Ted Kennedy, the drunk. Teddy, the drunk Kennedy. 1965 Immigration Reform Act. And when the drunk Kennedy brought this up before Congress, of course, as a Democrat, he lied to the Congress and to the people. He said, my Immigration Reform Act will not change the demographics of America. Have you been in a city in America recently? Does it look like a nation that was built by European Americans to you? No, it doesn't. Doesn't look like that at all. You say, well, it's a changing demographic. You have to accept it. And I would say, no, it's not over yet. Because if all of these wonderful people from the third world were coming here, as my grandfather did, to work and to contribute to society, we wouldn't be having this discussion. See, think about what I'm saying. You could say it's all racial, but you're wrong. If this wave of immigrants were all coming here working and paying taxes and building a life, we wouldn't be having this discussion. But they're not all coming here to work and pay taxes and raise families, are they? I don't have to fill out what many of them are doing and not doing for you to understand the rest of the story, do you? We have so many poor, sick people in this country. So many poor, even like that woman who just called me. A good, kind-hearted person, an animal rescue person, lives on disability. Maybe she could use some help from the country. Maybe some of the money that goes to La Raza ought to go to the people in America who were born here instead of those who broke in here. What's that, a little too harsh for you? Well, okay, now you get the point of why Trump's popular. Now you understand why the average person is relating to him in the way he is, and why people from other walks of life can't relate to him. And when you look at the other side, it's a medieval world awaits us if that hate monger should win the election. If that hate monger in a pantsuit should win the election, we will descend into medieval times. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI. The end of a long day, my friends. How does this guy do it, 100 years old, still jumping around like a Jumpin' Jack Flash? And a grandfather, no less. I don't know what he's on, probably just on a natural high. I mean, Mick Jagger's like the kind of British that conquered the world in the past, like pirates. Skinny pirates took over the whole third world. All right, welcome to the show. I got to tell you, you know, I'm here in as a guest of a radio station. Normally I work in a home studio here or there in the Bay Area. Here in Florida, I have a studio, worked fine, then AT&T crashed today, so I came running up. FTL up in West Palm is so kind to have me here. So the last segment that I just did on the show was about what immigration and why Trump is rising. And I said something interesting at the end, I think, that's worth repeating. And I said to you the following. I said, if all the immigrants that were coming in, even if most of them, if the majority of them were productive America-loving immigrants, we wouldn't even be having this national debate. That says it all. And I want to say something else having said that, because I coined the phrase yesterday. I'm going to repeat it over and over again right to the election. And this is for those of you who are undecided who don't like Donald Trump. And I'll say it again. You don't have to like Donald Trump to vote for him. And I'll reverse it. You don't have to hate Hillary Clinton to not vote for her, because it's their policies that matter, not whether you like or dislike them. And nobody has uncoupled the likability factor from the policy factor. Her policies are all wrong, upside down. Socialism, big government, tax and spend, pit the races against each other, deprive us of our American citizenship in the sense that our freedoms will be taken away from us. He is the opposite. How anyone cannot see that, well, I shouldn't say is beyond me, because it isn't beyond me. The brainwashing is complete. You see educated, stupid people not understanding that, the most basic thing about the situation. Well, I'm doing a show about regrets. I just hope that you don't regret having voted for Hillary Clinton at the end of the day when you see us descending into medieval times, if that should happen. And I certainly hope that if you're a Republican regular, you don't look back and say, why did I support that moron Rubio? Why did I not drop out of the Republican club when I could have? Why didn't I speak out at the Republican meeting when they were shafting the populist candidate, Donald Trump? Don't look back and say you should have. Do it now. You walk out of a Republican meeting if they start doing this to tell you, Rubio, unelectable moron, an ice cream man. Now let's go to a few quick callers on the issue of regrets. I'm almost out of time. Can you believe this? Unbelievable how time flies when you're not having fun. It must have been the sausage. I had a sandwich on me. I shouldn't even tell you because I'm a healthy guy. And all the people say that you shouldn't eat that stuff. I'll take a couple of fish oils tonight and something else to counter the E, the C. Once in a while, you can eat what you want. Didn't you know that? Then you don't become a fanatic. You got to go over the wall. I told you the Chinese poets wrote that even a monk, the most severe monk, would occasionally go over the wall and chase red petticoats. That's how it was written. It's very funny. That's like eating a sausage hero for a guy like me. You got to have a sausage hero. You got to have it. They don't even have it on the West Coast. It's illegal. It's so filled with things that taste good that you die from it, just from the enjoyment of eating it. If anyone on the West Coast ever ate a sausage and pepper and an onion hero like I just did, most of them would die instantly within 5 minutes. A combination of guilt and the flotation of lipids in their brain and in their arteries. They probably die from the diets they're on instantly. It's like drinking tap water when your whole life you've been drinking bottled water, $9 a bottle. Fiji water, Shmiji water, Heiji water, Heiji water, Ouija water. Then finally you're somewhere, you're dying of thirst. You drink a glass of water from the tap and you die from impurities. You got to have impurities in your life. Don't be so perfect, all you purists. I don't know what call to take. Robert, put anyone up. I don't know who's going to complain now about something they did wrong. All right, let's hear it. I'll be Dr. Mike for a minute. So, who are you calling? Well, go ahead. Do it. Robert, line 4, MAL. What's on your mind, Robert?
Hey, Savage. What's up? So basically, when I was a kid, I was about 16 years old, and I stole $1,000 from my parents. And I'm basically, right now, I mean, I did it just because, you know, to hang out with a bunch of friends, and they didn't know they were on vacation with that money. And they found out right before vacation that I took it, and I saw my mom cry, and that was probably, like, the craziest regret I have right now. But the good news is that I'm on my way right now to give them keys to a house at their vacation spot that they wanted to go to. I actually purchased them a house in Florida.
So you straighten your life out. You didn't become a crook. You didn't become a government worker. You didn't go to work for the Clinton family at the library. You made a good living. You made money. You're buying them a house.
Yeah. I'm actually 23 years old, and I'm a big. I've actually gotten into a real estate when I was 18. I worked my way up.
Oh, I knew guys like you who did go into real estate even in my time, very young, and they made a lot of money. Where are you? What city are you in real estate?
I'm actually in Richmond. Which Richmond?
So what? You're buying and flipping houses?
No. I work for a development company, and I just sold a plot of land to a pretty decent sized corporation.
Well, good for you. So you're a guy who's on the make. You're making a good living, and you remembered hurting your mother, and you bought her a house. I mean, that's a beautiful story, Robert.
Yeah.
So who are you going to vote for? Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump?
Trump all the way.
Why?
Because if it comes down to Hillary and Trump, and that's our decisions, I hope America goes Trump. I mean, I don't want to.
But why, as a young guy who's making an honest living, what you're saying is you feel that Trump would be better for you financially? Isn't that what you're saying? She'll take and he'll give.
Oh yeah, definitely, and especially even with Bernie Sanders, I don't want to give 50% of my commissions to, you know, people who. You know.
So you're a young guy, but you're a wise guy. You figured out a long time ago that Democrats steal more money from you than Republicans.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, God bless you, man. Thank you very much for doing that nice thing for your mother. I think we all remember hurting our parents, and that opened up actually a memory I had. I never hurt my mother like that, but I'm sure I disappointed her. And every time I come down here, I can't help but remembering her. I mean, she died down here, God knows, 10 years ago. And, you know, I see women here that look like her, you know, of the ethnic group and the age, and what age she'd be now. God, she'd be 95. Some of them are still walking around, you know, shopping, this and that. I miss her. But you can't cry over spilled milk, and you can't bring people back from the other world. It's that simple. All you can do is live your life forward and look at it backwards into plain English. But, you know, on the West Coast, I got to tell you this very funny. Having been, grew up in New York, as you well know, you can't tell that by my accent. I live on the West Coast. I love the West Coast. I love the environment more than anything in the world. It's the most beautiful place on earth. I mean, from the high Sierras down to the desert. Just the air itself is so beautiful. I don't see people who look like my parents out here. On the West Coast. They just don't exist. They're not there. And I'll tell you something else. Here's something interesting. Just a little side note I didn't think I'd get into. It's not a regret, I guess. Later on in my mother's life, when she was getting on in years and she had to go into a nursing home, I remember I was feeling really bad about that. I tried to get her to move west. First to live with me. She didn't want to. I don't blame her. Thank God she didn't. We wouldn't have gotten along. But then I said, Ma, you know, there's a nice nursing home out here. And she said, no, I don't think I'd fit in. And as it turns out, she wouldn't have fit in. She was a talker like me. She would have talked to people. They would have looked at her like she was crazy. She started waving her arms and talking to them. They have her arrested just for raising a question. All things work out, my friends. Thank you for listening to The Savage Nation. Another big hour right here on your local station.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
This is the Savage Nation. Here's an article on illegal storm border before the Trump wall. Isn't that pathetic? That we have such an evil president that he would permit foreigners to invade our nation at such a rate before an election. And he's not stopped. We're in the midst of this political maelstrom every day, a madness, a psychosis. A psychosis. The mark of a dictatorship is what we're living through. That there'd be this endless campaign. It's absurd. It's vulgar. It's a vulgar campaign on both sides of the aisle because it doesn't end. It's a way of distracting the people from the real problems. So no matter which side we're on, you know where I stand. I don't have to repeat my catechism every day. I'm taking a break. I'm asking about regrets. There are a lot of political regrets. I mean, there are people who listen to the show who have political regrets, for example. But, you know, what regrets, I would ask my audience, do you have looking back on your life? And if you're a younger person, you don't want to hear about that because you have your whole life ahead of you. So I asked you, what dreams do you still have for your future? Do you wish you want to get married? You still want to bring children into the world? Or looking back, do you wish you could not have married and not have had children? Or do you wish you could have married and had children? In essence, I'm asking a very human question. I know it's touching a lot of people because I'm getting emails from very intelligent friends of mine who rarely email me who are saying, here's the one thing I did that I regret. Because this will touch all of us. And to me, this is a great relief from having to listen to the fools at Black Lives Matter screaming and yelling and interrupting everybody simply because they're egomaniacs who do nothing for a living but bother everybody. Or watching Hillary Clinton, you know, go through her ritual of stirring up hatred. It's unbelievable that we have to pay so much attention to these troublemakers as though that's our whole life. There's a bigger world in politics. And most of us understand that, and of course the bread and butter of talk radio today is politics, right? But it's not the be-all and the end-all of existence. When you wake up in the morning, is that the first thing you think about is the campaign? And who is Megyn Kelly going to attack tonight? Or who is Salon going to support best for bringing down America? Or what trick Obama has pulled on us lately? I mean, you know, there's a limit to that, too. All of us have regrets of one kind or another. I don't have any. I swear to you, I'm looking back. I don't know what I did in my life wrong, because there were times in my life that I had a lot of regrets. At the time, well, let me put it another way. I think it was Huxley who wrote, Aldous Huxley, that is. He's not even remembered anymore because we read such trash. No one even knows who some of the great minds are anymore. Aldous Huxley wrote that I read everything he wrote when I was between my ages of 18 and 20. I read everything he wrote, every book, every essay. He even wrote articles on furniture for British magazines that I researched in great libraries and read because I thought he was such a great genius. So he wrote, life has to be lived forward, but it can only be understood backward. And it stuck with me like I was, you know, branded with that idea. Life has to be lived forward, but it can only be understood backward. Meaning, if I look back on my life and I look back on some of the regrets I had when I was younger, none of them are regrets anymore because they were the right. They had to be. They just had to be. Like I regretted now, looking back, why did I waste so many years trying to become a professor? You know, a 4.0 index out of one of the great universities. 8 books to my credit at the time, but I unfortunately was a white male, so they didn't hire me. I spent years seeking something that I could never have because they wanted to hire inferior people for the positions, in plain English, in order to destroy the universities, in order to make people feel good. But as a result of that wandering in the desert, I, Moses Savage, took myself to the promised land and created the Savage Nation. 22 years ago, this March 24th, was my first show. Had I not wandered through the desert, I would not have been forced to create the Savage Nation and, in essence, lead myself and people who like the show out of the Red Sea. Well, I parted the Red Sea in radio in many ways. There's a young guy here who used to be a producer of mine. He's a great guy, Brennan. I haven't seen him in years. And we shook hands. I said, how are you? He's still working. He's doing great. He said, your shows in the last few weeks have been out of the park. I said, what do you like about him? Another young man in his 20s. He said, well, I just like him. I said, okay, I'll put you on the spot. Which show did you like the best? He said, regrets. I said, you're a young guy. I said, why do you think that clicked? He said, I would think because everybody has a regret in their life that they're unwilling to admit, except on a radio show where no one knows who they are. I think we're politicked out. I mean, we had already the Super Tuesday. Trump won. He won, he won, he won, he won. He won, he won, he won. Everything. He won everything. And the Republican establishment, the evil Republican establishment, has shown themselves to be as corrupt as we suspected. They want to destroy the country. They're actually talking about electing Hillary. They'd rather see Hillary win than Trump. Can you believe this? Yes. That's how Obama has managed to survive all these years. Because whether you know it or not, someone very wise years ago said that it's a Democrat or Republican party. It was me. Republican, Democrat party, it makes no difference. One party system, two card Monty, three shells, one P, whichever way you want to put it. The American people have been deceived and screwed for years by these establishmentarians. And so you say, well, wait, Mike, how could a rich white guy worth X billions of dollars, whether it's 10, 5, 4, doesn't matter. He's a rich man. How could they hate him so much? Doesn't it make sense that Donald Trump would be one of them? Well, it would make sense, but he isn't. That's why he's so popular. Because even the average guy likes Donald Trump, because they know he's not one of them. He's not a member of the two-party con game. He's not a member of the Democrat con game. He's not a member of the Republican con game. He probably doesn't read the Meekly Standard. He probably reads the Drudge Report and listens to the Savage Nation if he listens to radio at all. And they hate him for that. So how many different things can we say about this now? Even if he wins the popular vote, they're going to try and steal it through a brokered convention. If they do that, you know what's going to happen. It'll be the end of the Republican Party, but guess what? They don't care. You don't seem to understand that. Many of you are saying if Republicans sabotage Trump, it will destroy the Republican Party. Folks, there is no Republican Party. It's a party of none. It's a party of none. A few people in a back room who control the purse strings and rip us off. It's that simple. So what have I said that you can't say? I want to hear more about your regrets. I think that's what you want to hear. I think on a day like today, you'd rather hear people calling in with their regrets, and it might trigger some of your own. Are you sorry that you married the man that you married, ladies? You get priority. Are you sorry you didn't have children? Or worse, are you sorry you did have children? We're living in such a degenerate time that many people today who are grown with children say, you know, I wish I was like them today. I just would have partied and had a good time. Don't think people don't think that. Old people walking around in Florida can't even, their heads don't even fit over the steering wheel. They're probably driving around wishing that they were still party animals. I have a young assistant in his 20s. You know, we're driving up here to the studio I'm in, up at WFTL Studios in West Palm Beach, actually. We're a stone's throw from Mar-a-Lago. It's right over the whatever. One guy was 85 years old. We were honking at him. There were a bridge that was going up. The guy is 90. He gave us the finger. Have they no idea that people get hurt for things like that? Not from me. I'm a nice guy, but there are crazy people out there. Liberal Democrats and sobs who kill. You got to be careful of them. Now, I want to read something to you that has nothing to do with Rubio or Trump or Cruz. I'm going to read it to you, then I'll tell you where it's from. I'll just read it cold. The conservative movement is dead. I take no pleasure in making that observation. Let's face facts. Most of the red state politicians fail to comprehend that the American people are behind them and that the people want them to push through Congress a real conservative agenda. I wish that those empty suits and skirts would provide the leadership necessary to defend America from those who would do her harm instead of taking the side of the enemy. Can you think of one speech where the Republican leadership has expressed a desire to protect our borders, our language, and our culture? You see, without those three fundamental pillars of society, no nation can survive. Except for a few minor utterances about cultural issues with little or no follow-up, there has been scant support for these conservative principles or values. On my radio show over the last 10 years, people have repeatedly called, expressing their fears that our national sovereignty is diminishing and that this country will be sold out to an international New World Order. They fear that American citizens will no longer have the protections of our U.S. Constitution, that it will be replaced by a constitution forged by the United Nations. No longer will we have the Bill of Rights to protect us. It will be a new watered-down Bill of Wrongs for the new ruling bureaucrats. And then the examples were given. That was written in the year 2005 by yours truly, and published as a book entitled Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. The book was dedicated to the American soldier. And the reason I'm reading it to you is because we have the purists who think they invented the conservative movement. Long before the purists came along and invented themselves and presented themselves as purists, those of us who were working in the trenches for 20 years knew that the conservative movement was already dying, or if not dead. We understood it, we knew it, and we worked at it. And as I said then, I believe the only thing that could save America is a new appreciation of our national identity. And I quoted Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr. when he wrote, "As life is action and passion, it is required of a man that he should share the passion and action of his time at the peril of being not to have lived." Taking that to a step further, I wrote, "If we fail to act and to pursue a new American nationalism, 2005, we will fail to exist as a nation." I wrote, "These Euro-socialists and their American counterparts see a terrible beauty struggling to be born. A beauty that would like to sweep away our dying civilization and bring us into a brave, an unbrave new world." Well, that's what they've done to the EU. I saw it coming. They've almost destroyed the sovereignty of every European nation. And then I wrote this caption. "When the internationalists attack Christian fundamentalism, let us not forget they are also attacking Judaism." Of course, you don't know that. This book has been designed to pour a caustic solution on the edifices of liberalism. Now, the reason I'm reading this to you is because we're living through everything I predicted in 2005. And that brings us to the election of today in 2016. And the only question is, who are you for? Now, you have a right to be whoever you want to be for. I have taken a very pragmatic approach from the beginning. My entire approach has been, who can win? Who can beat Hillary Clinton? Who can beat this woman who will destroy everything that's left in America? And by the way, there's a secondary show question, and I think it's worth asking. Let's say she's the candidate, and she survives the spy scandal. She survives what she's done to America. She survives the corruption of the Clinton Foundation Library. She survives all of that. Let's say she against a Republican. Be honest with yourself. Which one of the Republicans is the only one who might beat her? And I say might. There's only one, and that's Donald Trump. Rubio's finished. Cruz is extremely smart, well-intentioned, unelectable. Unelectable on a national level. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. It is the Savage Nation. We're fighting for our survival, of course. Donald Trump represents the standard bearer of America's future if we win. And I want you to think about who hates him and why they hate him. Just think about this carefully. The deviants, the perverts, the intellectual haters of America, the losers who are jealous of anybody who has succeeded. And I must say there's a high degree of racism against Donald Trump. Yes, you heard me. A tremendous degree of racism is being directed at Donald Trump. And he is expressing certainly no racial issues, none whatsoever. He's expressing nationalist issues, not racist issues. But the perverted deviant left is so twisted in their thinking that anyone who stands up for our borders, our language, and our culture is to these sickos a racist. It's plug and play for them. What they've done to your children and now doing to the American psyche. Over the weekend, they hate Trump so much. I've never seen such hatred in my life for any candidate in my lifetime. Never. They have more hatred for him than they do for Al-Qaeda. They have more hatred for Donald Trump than they do for people who rape, kill, and murder. They have more hatred for Donald Trump than they do for a mass murderer on death row. Why? Because liberalism is a mental disorder. By and large, people in the newspaper business are not very smart. They went into journalism because they couldn't do anything else. They were the C&D students who blew a lot of dope. They didn't know what they wanted to do with their life, so they settled on a career in journalism. Then they found out they can tie a knot, they can do a Windsor knot, and the next thing you know, they're on television. Presto, and you have Jake Tapper. So Trump is seen on tape with a microphone on, telling Christie to go home moments after the endorsement by Christie. So this idiot reporter, Adam Adelman, real genius, real smart boy. His mother wanted him probably to be a chiropractor. He couldn't even make it as a chiropodist. So Adelman winds up writing for Daily News. Probably started in the obituary column, then did religion. And he says, Trump told Christie to go home moments after endorsement, New York Daily News. Then this head by the sub-moron is, a very unappreciative Trump caught telling Christie to go home moments after his former rival endorsed him. So I said, that's really got my curiosity. Let me listen to the thing. So I clicked the YouTube, and it's after Christie's long speech. Trump says, it's okay, go home to your family. And this idiot, Adam Adelman of the Daily News, says Trump told Christie to go home after the endorsement and calls him an unappreciative Trump. I have seen yellow journalism in my life. I have seen scandalous propaganda in my life. But I have never seen scandalous propaganda as I am seeing against Donald Trump. And you have to ask yourself why. It's a very important question. Why is Donald Trump hated so much? In my opinion, it's simple. Because he's not beholden to either party. When he gets in power, if he should win, and I hope he beats Hillary, I really hope he beats Hillary, because if you think that Trump would be a bad president and I don't, how come you can't think outside that limited sphere of your brain and look back upon Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, look back upon what she did in South Carolina to win the black vote? She appeased and appealed only to blacks. She did not mention any of the white police officers who were killed. She didn't mention them at all. There was no eulogy for them. It was a eulogy only for black people killed by cops. If you think that her racism is something that America needs, if you think that her demagoguery is something that America can use, my friends, you're a very, very sick puppy.
Savage.
Well, man, it's what day of the week it is? Wednesday on the Savage Nation. It's the day after. I feel like the day after Sunday in the zoo when the primates even are depressed. You ever see the primates on a Monday after the zoo day? What would happen? It's well known in the years I was writing health books that a day after visit a day in the zoos, the primates were lethargic. They would sleep. They wouldn't move around because they had so much garbage food thrown over the wall, candy corn, sweets. The gorilla would eat the sweets. He'd have a sugar collapse, a low blood sugar event. The next day, he didn't even want to move. You could throw anything at him. That's how most of us feel today. We feel like primates after the visitor day. We're half asleep. I could ask you why Trump is hated. I know why he's hated. I could ask you questions about the election, and we'll certainly take them. I think it would be a valid thing to do on a day like today. We know that Hillary Clinton is a race baiter of the lowest order. We know that she is winning votes with vile race games, according to Betsy McCarthy of the New York Post, who wrote a great article on this. She wrote, Hillary Clinton is sweeping the Democratic primaries across the South by capturing nearly all the black vote, a staggering 86% in South Carolina, but she's doing it with poisonous lies designed to stoke racial resentment. Clinton routinely tells blacks that they are victims of systemic racism, and then Clinton scolds whites for not demonstrating more humility. Clinton falsely claims discrimination is causing the higher poverty and incarceration rates among blacks. She writes there isn't a shred of evidence to back up her claims, yet she gets a pass from the media. Let's separate facts from her racially inflammatory fictions. On the campaign trail, she complains, quote, race still plays a significant role in determining who gets ahead in America and who gets left behind. And she notes that black families have just a tiny fraction of the wealth of white families. Well, yes, there's a wealth gap. Hillary blames it on racism instead of confronting the self-destructive choices young blacks are encouraged to make by a welfare system that subsidizes girls having babies before they finish their education or marry. Now listen to this statistic before you open your big mouth, liberals. A troubling 73% of black children are born to single mothers. That's not a vestige of slavery, she writes, as some liberals would have you believe. Listen to this fact. In 1950, before widespread welfare, the figure was only 18%. 18% in 1950 of black children were born to single mothers. After the Clinton regime and Obama 73% of black children are born to single mothers. It is well known that people who finish high school, hold a job, and do not have children until they are 21, and have a steady partner are almost never poor, says black Columbia professor John McWhorter. Clinton rages against a school-to-prison pipeline, blaming, quote, racist schools that disproportionately suspend black students. She blames racist police, quote-unquote, who target blacks. And then she blames racist judges who mete out longer sentences to blacks than whites. Again, she's got the facts wrong. You know, they level words at Trump that don't apply to him, but they apply to Hillary like racist. She is playing the race card to the hilt. And we've been talking about a wonderful article, Hillary Clinton is Winning Votes with Vile Race Games, by Betsy McCaffey in the New York Post. We've given you facts. She feeds lies. She attacks white people. How any white person could ever vote for her is a mark of the drugged America that we live in. You see the rallies with the stooges sitting there. I saw one the other day in North Dakota. A Marine who served the nation, got up to challenge her husband, the great man, Bill Clinton. And he shouted him down, and the morons in the audience, all white people in North Dakota, shouted at the Marine like cattle. They went, They looked like the bovine animals that they herd on their ranches. Sit down. Sit down. Well, the fact of the matter is, she feeds lies, and this inflammatory rhetoric is so unhealthy for the future of America that it's frightening. She says it's racist judges and racist police and racist schools that are responsible for suspending black students and arresting blacks by the police, and evil judges who give out longer sentences to blacks. Well, Betsy McCaffey points out that the facts don't support that. Evidence of a school-to-prison pipeline is laughably weak, notes Manhattan Institute scholar Heather McDonald. While black students are suspended at twice the rate of Hispanics and whites, blacks misbehave more, another consequence of inadequate parenting and failure to stress school achievement at home. And it's ridiculous to suggest racist educators are to blame. Teaching is among the most liberal professions. At schools, Hillary proposes ending suspensions and keeping disruptive students in the classroom while they get counseling. What a nonsensical idea that is. Bill de Blasio, Mayor Bill de Blasio, tried that. And guess what happened? When the communist mayor of New York, the most clueless demagogue in the history of New York's mayoralty, he tried that, and assaults shot up 40% the first year. And the true victims of this misguided policy are kids who want to learn. Obama dignified race hustler Al Sharpton with roles at the White House many times. That vile street agitator was invited into our White House. And now Hillary, of all people, is seeking this vile race hustler's advice. She concludes the article by saying, Al Sharpton advising Hillary Clinton? She ought to repudiate him as the David Duke of her party. Amen to that. Now, I want to backtrack for a minute. Donald Trump has denounced once and for all, which he's done many times, the Ku Klux Klan endorsement. He denounced them again on the Savage Nation. Why do you think you keep hearing about this? It is because what you are witnessing for perhaps the first time in your life, as nakedly as I have seen it for my entire life in the media, you are witnessing yellow journalism. That is what this is known as. This is the most yellow journalism I have ever witnessed in my life. It is around the clock Trump hatred by the New York Post, because Murdoch, who owns the Post, who owns the puppets on Fox News, wants Hillary as president. He's an open borders guy, so far as I know. That's number one. The Post, Fox News, the shoes, the lipstick, the hair twists, all part and parcel of the propaganda machine. Hollywood propaganda machine. Do I have to say ABC, CBS, NBC? I don't even have to say it. It goes with the territory. Yellow journalism. What you have to understand is this. I want you to try to imagine if your favorite conservative talk show host was running for the presidency, not as a stunt, but for real, and he had gotten as far as Donald Trump has. Now, you understand why they're smearing Donald Trump. Because outsiders like talk show hosts are supposed to just talk, but never really do anything. The fact of the matter is Donald is the greatest threat to the power structure in your lifetime. And that means both sides of the aisle. Because both sides of the aisle are filled with, let us say, individuals who are too cozy with your tax dollars. Let me be very, very clear about it. That's all about money. Always recognize that it's about the money. He's not good for business for the lobby class. He's not good for business for the lobbyist's best friends who are the senators and congressmen who are working against him. And this should tell you all you need to know about Rubio and Cruz. You should know completely that this is only about money, nothing else. It's not really about ideas on their part. It's about money, 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 and more money. We know that it's a long, long road yet through the Byzantine world of the American electoral system to actually wind up in the winner's circle as the nominee. You can be the most popular. You can attract the biggest crowds. But the party can still steal the candidacy from you. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. I have another thought on this matter that I think may help you understand why I'm so agitated as to what this yellow journalism really means for us. Here is a billionaire, Donald Trump, who's an outsider. And look what they're doing to a billionaire who's controlling the media. Now try to imagine what an honest man who was not a billionaire would be facing from the swine in the media. If he can't get out from under the smears, how could an honest man without money get out from under the smears? How many different ways does he have to say he stopped beating his wife? Do you understand the smear tactic that's being promoted by especially that little man Rubio? Of course he never would accept the endorsement of the Ku Klux Klan. Of course this is yellow journalism. Of course this is a smear tactic. You don't have to like Donald Trump. You don't have to vote for Donald Trump. But we do happen to live in America, and I, of all people, know what a smear campaign looks like, sounds like, smells like, and the effects it has on a person for the rest of their life. And if you want to live in such a nation, then you go ahead and you keep supporting the jackals in the media and little men like Rubio, perhaps the number one Lilliputian of all. He is the Lilliputian of this campaign. It's that simple. You heard it all on the Savage Nation, but you didn't hear it all. You heard nothing. Because most of you, your minds are made up. And either you're going to vote for Donald Trump or you're going to vote for a woman who's achieved nothing in her life but working for the government and bamboozling the public. So here are 10 things to fear about a Clinton presidency. Loss of the Supreme Court. Hillary could appoint up to 3 new justices in the next 4 years, all fanatics on the left. And they will reach decisions that are outside of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which will be in jeopardy. Corruption and scandal. If you don't remember, I will remind you that the first Clinton administration was filled with both corruption and scandal, and it will continue under Hillary. In fact, it will be even worse, because to the Clinton machine, everything is a means to an end, and the end is always how the Clintons get money into their foundation or reward their friends in high and low places. Government-run health care will become much worse. The United States will likely have another foreign war under Hillary. Did you know that? That's right. Terror attacks will increase under Hillary because she will not even acknowledge the fact that Islam is at war with the West. She won't even say that radical Islam is involved with the terror campaigns around the world. And this has weakened us tremendously. And I want to remind you that, to be very specific rather than speak in generalities, Hillary Clinton owns the Arab Spring. She is, if not the architect, then she is the implementer of the Arab Spring. She boasted about killing Gaddafi when he had warned the West, begging the West, don't kill me, he said. He said, because if you destroy me, Libya will descend into what Somalia is now, where tribes will run Libya. That is exactly what happened. I don't care whether Jake Woodpecker tells you this or not. I don't care whether Mr. Blinky Wolf Blitzer tells you this or not. I know more than both of them put together. I have more wisdom in one pinky than they have in their whole brains, both of them put together. And she owns the Arab Spring. She destroyed the Middle East. She has flooded Europe with the refugee crisis. And that's exactly what she will do to this country. Make no mistake about it. This is not rhetoric. This is reality. And also, my friends, there are other issues, many, many other issues. Riots will become the norm if she becomes president. Remember what Obama has done. He has divided people by race back to what it was in the 1960s, if not earlier. Hillary is stoking the hatred at every campaign rally. She is causing constant protests and rioting. And the police will be hamstrung and hung out to dry by liberal mayors and the federal government. Be very careful what you wish for, my friends. Now, what about the economy? I believe that under Hillary Clinton, America faced the worst economic crisis we've ever seen. Nothing will be changed regarding curtailing spending. And Hillary's tax increases, which are a given, will kill incentive to work or hire. America, as the financial leader of the world, will cease to exist, as average Americans will look at one salami hanging in a butcher shop the way it did in the ex-Soviet Union. And if you think that that's just rhetoric, then study your history and you'll find out what centralized government does when it comes to food distribution. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. If the party of class warfare, race warfare, sex warfare, meaning the party of Hillary Clinton, wins, we will descend into medieval times in the United States of America. Now, all the guns of the vermin in the media are aimed at Donald Trump, because he stands for America. He is a, I would say, moderate nationalist. He stands certainly for our borders, which means he stands for our language, which means he stands for our culture, which is why the vermin in the media hate him, which is why Mexico hates him, which is why China hates him. Of course they've had such a good deal. Why would they not hate him? If you were robbing a country blind because you were able to buy off the politicians for so many years through their lobbyists like Madeleine Albright, if you were able to buy off lobbyists and sell your garbage and manipulate your currency and bury a nation in trade war, why would you not want it to continue? A man comes along and says, enough is enough. I'm not going to let you do it anymore. You're going to have fair trade. You're not going to do this to us anymore. Of course you do everything you can, including buying newspapers, magazines, owning the stooges in the media one way or another. And have them tell the people that the man who's trying to save the country is actually the man who's trying to destroy the country. You know, I hope that you don't have regrets after the election coming up in November and say, God, why didn't I listen to guys like Savage who was trying to warn us that the race baiting of Hillary Clinton, the class warfare of Hillary Clinton, would lead us to medieval times in America? Why didn't I listen to him? Why did I dismiss Michael Savage as a this or as a that? I want to tell you something. The very same things that you've heard about me that are not true have been promoted by the very same forces that are attacking Donald Trump. Just make no mistake about it. That's exactly what's going on. If I were running for office, which I told you I would never do, I told you that many times, I don't have the nature for it, and I'm watching Trump, I don't know how he takes it. To be frank, I didn't know he was this tough. A man of any age. The hatred that is being heaped upon this man is something I have never seen. When you think of Lilliputians like Wolf Blitzer, Jake Tapper, and the others in the media, Lilliputians, they're small men. And you think that they are expending more hatred on Donald Trump than on the head of ISIS, who orchestrates the rape, the industrial rape of young girls, the kidnapping, blowing up houses of worship. Does that not tell you everything you need to know about what's wrong with the media in America?